the book of Romans, chapter number 4. And you find that place, if you're able, we'd ask you to stand with us and reverence the Word of God. And if you can't, well, you reverence it in your heart. You hear so many times, much more interested in folks reverencing it in their heart than we are them reverencing it with their stance. So you find that place, Romans chapter number 4, very familiar, again, passage of Scripture. We say that all the time. Familiar to some, maybe not familiar to others, but we pray that before tonight be familiar to us all. It's a good passage nonetheless. Everything Romans chapter number 4 is justification through faith. And boy, I thank God. Verse number 8, that's don't have nothing to do with the message. That's not even where I'm going to be reading. I'm just going to take a little brief pit stop in verses 7 and 8 just to say this. It says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so if you're saved, thank God you're blessed beyond measure. Amen. We're going to start there, and I want you to notice in verse number 16, and we'll read down to about verse number 22. He said, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, one of them great verses in your Bible, said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he is about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. How the Bible said, but he staggered not at the promise of God. Notice that singular, through unbelief. He said, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded at what he had promised, he is able also to perform. Verse 22 is the last verse. He said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Heavenly Father, we bear our head before you one more time. And God, thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, that for the grace that you demonstrated toward us. And to God, if it wasn't for grace, surely we couldn't be saved. I thank you, Lord, for the faith and the Lord that you gave us in order to be saved. And God, for the faith and the Lord you gave us to measure us. I thank you for the word and God that led to the faith. I thank you for the preaching. I thank you for the Spirit of God. Oh Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. And Lord, as we said the other night, and God, old Jonathan Edwards had it right. And Lord, the only thing I brought to salvation was my sin. And Lord, I'm glad that I brought it, and I'm glad that you took it. I thank God, Father, and you took what I was, and I took what you was. I bless your high and holy name. Ask you for a few minutes of time, and give us good liberty to preach the word of God. Help us, God, that we might be faithful in your sight. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Help us honor you tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. How you can be seated. I'm interested primarily in verse number 21. How the Bible says this. And being fully persuaded at what he had promised, he is able also to perform. I want you to notice with me, if you will, I click over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I might just say a word or two out of that, and then I'll try to bring you the message. And I feel like the Lord's laid to our heart out of the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. I want you to understand. And Hebrews 11, it begins. How about telling us what faith is? He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How about I want you to notice this? And when it gets down to Abraham, I can see in Abraham's life a lot of things that faith is not. I want you to notice in verse 8, how the Bible says, by faith Abraham, and when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, and not
knowing whether he will. Let me say this to you. Faith is not in knowing what God's doing. Hey, you ain't got to know what God's doing in order to have faith. Hey, you better thank God for it. Amen. How many of us today, ain't none of us tonight, haven't understand what God's doing? And the Bible said that he went out by faith. He obeyed and he didn't even know where he's going. Hey, but I'm glad this. I'll tell you what faith is. Our faith is not in us knowing what God's doing. How about it's knowing in who God's being? Amen. I don't have to know what God's doing. And my faith is not in his action. And my faith is in his person. Amen. And so thank God I know who he is. I ain't got to worry about that. Now watch this. I want you to see on with me if you Bible. He said in the next verse, in verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob the heirs with him of the same promise. I like verse 10. He said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so faith is not knowing what God's doing. And listen to me, let me say a second thing. Faith is not in knowing where God's working. Amen. Here's what Abraham said. He said, just went out looking. Amen. He didn't know where God was going to do it at. He didn't know where it was going to be at. But I tell you what faith was. Faith believed God enough how to get up every day and to look for what he said. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, whenever you start talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's getting up every day and to listen every day. Abraham got up and every day he looked for a city and every day he didn't find it. But the next day, guess what he done? He got up, thank God, and he looked for that city again. And the next day he got up and he looked for that city again. And when he died, thank God, he still hadn't found the city, but he is still looking for it. And one of these days, thank God, I'll get to walk on the street of gold and the New Jerusalem and say, Abraham, you found it, amen. You found the city. I mean, listen, friend, I don't have to know where God's working. I don't have faith that God is working. I want you to watch what your Bible says here. Faith is not in knowing what God's doing. It's not in knowing where God's doing it. And notice what the Bible says is. And the Word of God said in verse 13, have these all died in faith and not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Our faith is not in knowing when God's going to do it. Amen. And now listen, I realize there's folks that act like if you got faith that you'll know what God's doing and you'll know where God's doing it and you'll know when it's going to happen. And that might be true for somebody, but that ain't been true in my life. I'll tell you what, I just keep a walking by faith and just trust and thank God that day by day that there's going to come a time and God's not forgot where I'm at. He knows just where I live. He knows where I work. He knows where I attend church. He knows what's happening in my life. And when the time's God's time, I still believe, thank God, God will do what he said. Amen. I want you to listen to this last thing. And then I'll try to preach you the message. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 16. He said, but they desired a better country. That is heavenly. Wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. I tell you what faith is not. Faith is not knowing why God's doing what he's doing. I mean, there's a lot of folks said, thank God they act like you got this supernatural faith and you'll understand your whole life and why God's doing what he's doing. And friend, that's just simply not reality. I want you to understand, about the time you think you got God figured out, and you'll find out you're about 10,000 miles away from anything God was doing. Amen. But listen, friend, I'm telling you, I don't have to know any of that in order to have faith. How Abraham said it like this in Romans chapter number 4. He said he was fully persuaded. And now I thought today's Father's Day. And so I give you a Father's Day title. I'll give you a man sermon's title. How's that? I'll preach on this. I'd sure enough like to make a full pool of the faith. Amen. I don't know about nobody when they was younger. Hey, boy, I used to like to watch them modified tractors. And they'd slap on them. Hey, you know, they'd have three engines on one side. And they'd have three engines on the other. And they was a churning out about 10,000 horsepower. And they'd hook them up to about a 60,000 pound sled. I'm not the only person in here ever like that, am I? Amen. Hey, y'all making me nervous, thank God. Hey, but listen, they'd turn them engines on, and that boy would get to rattling, and when they'd start off out of the gate, hey, you knew, boy, that front end come up, and they'd head down that 300-foot track. I mean, they was getting it. But the further they went, the heavier that sled got. And listen, they wasn't nothing real exciting about the starting. But boy, when they start getting to the end, and they start digging them tires, and them rooster tails of dirt start shooting up. That's when I thought, thank God, I hope they make it to the end. I'm telling you, listen, friend, what we find about Abraham's life, it's not just how good he started, but thank God, how good he finished, amen. I mean, I'm glad that when he comes out of the gate, he makes a good start, but in the middle of his life, he messes up a little bit. Things get a little sideways on him. But thank God, by the end, hey, listen, friend, he's made it across the finish. I want to just go like him. I want you to watch this. In your Bible, let me give you three or four things, and I'll be done tonight. The Word of God said in chapter 4, watch with me, if you will, verse number 19. He said, and not being weak, in faith, he considered not his own body, and now dead, which is about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I thought this. Hey, listen, friend, you start talking about faith. Faith is based on a full persuasion. Here's what you find the Bible says. He considered not. Hey, listen to me, friend. I'll tell you what faith does. Faith is not motivated, nor is it moved by all the distractions on the outside. Faith does not look at all the negativity. I mean, the Bible said that he didn't even consider the deadness of his own body, nor of the deadness of Sarah's womb. Hey, but listen, thank God. Y'all may not get this, but I hope you will. Last time I checked, hey, ain't none of us seen a 90-year-old pregnant woman, amen. Somebody help me with that. Boy, wouldn't it be something to watch somebody come in today, and they be about 90 years old, Sean, and I say, man, you're just glowing, amen. I'd say, yeah, I'm in that motherly way. I mean, now listen, friend. I mean, she comes in there, and you say, well, thank God, look over at Abraham, a white-headed, long-bearded, and just as white as he can, clicking off 100 years old. And he said, yeah. I said, God promised us this. You understand? God didn't make them that promise when they was 20 and 25, amen. Amen. God made them that promise when they're 75 and 60, amen. Hey, listen to me, friend. I'm simply saying this. I mean, 75 and 65, rather. I'm simply saying this. They weren't spring chickens when God first made them the promise. And now they're well past that. But yet, despite everything that their eyes tell them, and despite what their body's feeling, and despite what their neighbors are saying, and the Bible teaches us, Abraham still believes God, amen. I don't know, that just stirs me up. That boy, in our day where we're standing at, ain't nobody believes God for nothing, amen. Oh, but thank God, listen, he's still the same one, amen. I mean, you get to studying about everything. The Bible says it like this. I said he was fully persuaded. That means he wasn't just partially convinced, amen. And we got a lot of Baptists out there partially convinced, amen. But the Bible says he was fully persuaded. I got to looking at what that word meant. That word, listen, I mean, I wouldn't even attempt to tell you where the etymology of that word comes from. But I'll tell you this about it. That's what it said. It said to the absolute fullest extent. It said, in other words, there was no room left for anything else. And so whenever Abraham stepped back and he was thinking about what God said, he said there wasn't even an ounce of doubt in the whole pot. Amen. I thought about King Agrippa. You remember what it it said about him in Acts chapter 26. It said he was almost persuaded. I think that's who I'm. I mean, by and large, whenever I'm preaching in churches, I think that I'm preaching to folks that are almost persuaded. I thought about in Galatians 5:7, and the Bible says, "Who did hinder you that you should not?" It says you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And the next verse says this. It said, "For this persuasion is not of him that calleth you." In other words, they were half persuaded. They thought that they got in by faith and by grace, but they kept themselves by works. So that's 50-50 on that thing. But I'm not almost, and I'm not halfway. I mean, thank God, I'd like to be just where, amen. I'd like to be just where Abraham's at. And say, I ain't even got room for no nonsense. I just believe that God can do what he said he would, amen. Wouldn't you like to be there? I mean, listen now, friend, I'm telling you, we can come in this place. I'm not talking about, he wasn't looking at me, friend. He wasn't basing what he believed on whims and wishes. It was based upon precepts and promises, amen. I know we got a lot of folks that, I mean, they think that, they start making up promises. Let me help everybody in here. God didn't promise you a good marriage, amen. Would y'all help me right there? Amen. You want a good marriage, thank God, work at it, amen. Amen. Somebody smile at me at least on that one. I mean, God's gave you the tools. Hey, listen, God didn't promise me that all my kids would be saved. And he didn't promise you yours would either. Amen. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe we just get them underneath the gospel and God will convict their heart because he promised he'd do that. He promised he'd light every man that cometh in the world. He promised, thank God, that the salvation of the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. I believe that. Amen. I believe, thank God, God will do his part, but God never promised that our boys would do ours, amen. God didn't promise you'd have doctors and lawyers, and you'd have spiritual young men, young children. These folks running around, thank God, and they're trying to use principles as promises, and that's why they get messed up. They say, preacher, I've done my part. I raised up my kids in the house of God, and the Bible said, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. That's a principle, amen. Look at me, friend. Everybody understand that the man that wrote that verse, his own children were reprobates. Amen. I mean, listen, friend. And Jeroboam had departed from the faith. I mean, he didn't even follow what he said. Amen. And you can't take a principle and turn it into a promise. If you do, you'll be disappointed. Amen. It's a principle. Amen. Oh, but there are some promises. And I thank God they're exceeding precious promises. I'll tell you, every promise, every time God said he would, I thank God you just put a little star by it and mark it down. There'll not be one person that'll ever check out of this world and saying God didn't do what he said he would, amen. That's why we can be fully persuaded. Now see, the devil will get you fully persuaded in things God never promised, amen. God never promised you you'd be happy every day. Somebody help me right there. God didn't promise you a big bank account. These folks, thank God, think that they give the Lord 3.5 hours of every Sunday, and that means that God's obligated to help them all week long. God never said that, friend. Amen. God never promised us, contrary to Copeland and Creflo Dollar and the rest of them apostates. He never did promise us, thank God, health, wealth, and all the rest of that that goes with it. I mean, praise God, you'd be dropped dead tomorrow and still be saved by the grace of God. Amen. What about folks like Jim Elliot, who went down a car accident, or went down a plane crash rather, as he's on his way to fly and to preach to the Aka Indians? I say, if you believe, you tell me that man wasn't in the will of God. He was more in the will of God than anybody I know, amen. And yet he died, amen. Hey, listen, friend. Stephen was a pretty good feller, I'd say. Right in the will of God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what happened to him? He preached his first message. They didn't even take up a love offering for it. What about that? Had nobody patted him on the back. They didn't buy his CDs. They didn't ask him to write any books. Thank God. I'll tell you what they did. They stoned him, amen. And you say, preacher, that don't seem fair. here. Well, maybe not from our point of view, but from Stephen's it looked pretty good. Amen. I promise you this. All everybody else was thinking, this looks pretty bad. Whenever Stephen was looking up and seeing the Son of God and standing at the right hand of the Father, he thought it was looking pretty good. Amen. I'm telling you, God will do what he promised. Amen. We got to have a, I'm talking about, listen, his faith was based upon a full persuasion. He believed God was able to. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I'm just asking you honestly. How many of those things you're praying in your life? I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, we get in that place sometimes and we halfway think God's able to, and we halfway think it takes a quarter of us and a quarter of somebody else. At the last time I checked, I mean, what? Listen to me. I mean, really, honestly, we pray for folks' salvation, but when it came right down to it, you know who done the saving? Hey, man, it was the Lord. Amen. That salvation is of the Lord. Amen. It's not of the Lord and the church. It's not of the Lord, thank God. And what you, salvation, friend, is of the Lord. Amen. Have the Lord Jesus Christ done it? He gave you every aspect in it. And if you ever did get saved, you got saved because the Lord puts you in the family of God. Amen. Amen. That's why we can be fully persuaded. Now, I've got confidence in that. Ain't that good? Amen. Hey, some things you can be fully persuaded. I thought about this. Listen, first thing you sign, hey, consider not. Hey, there's a lot of things on the outside we get to consider and why God can't help us. Somebody help me on that. You ever get to thinking about why God can't help you more than you realize why God can? I like to listen. Oh, I'm going to have to steal it for a minute. I'm going to borrow this, Josh, and I'll give it right back to you, all right? I was over there in the prayer room, and old brother Rick Manus got talking about the giants that David was going to face, and then all of a sudden Josh said, "How will I? God's a giant. He's just bigger, amen." And I thought, thank you. Praise God, that stirred me up, amen. I mean, sometimes we get to consider it, how big everything is around us, and we forget to consider how big God is. How about the last time I checked, friend? He's still on the throne. He's still God. He's still all powerful. Hey, everything that ever has been done beside because of him. And everything that will be done by him. Amen. Listen, what do you got? You say, preacher, I don't see how I can do it. You mean you've seen how a world was made before he made it? Somebody help me there. You think you could have figured this thing out without him? I mean, there's an awful lot of folks that think we came out of a primordial soup, that just the right circumstances happened over 10 millions of years, and one amoeba transformed to another amoeba, and that amoeba turned into a tadpole, and that tadpole turned into a frog, and somewhere along the line that frog jumped species, and it transformed over into an animal, and that animal jumped over and it transformed into a mammal, and the next thing you know, here we are. And listen, and that's the best thing anybody, that's the smartest of our minds can come up with, and they no longer teach that as theory, but they teach that as an absolute fact, and they say you people are ignorant for believing the Bible. Now wait just a minute, neighbor. I mean, hold on just a second. You think we're the ones that's ignorant? Amen. I mean, the last time I checked, I ain't never seen a monkey in transition, and you ain't neither. Amen. Hey, listen, they expect me to believe that. All I'm saying is this. Hey, my friend, I've done studied too much of what it is. I've done seen how much God operates in our body, and that they can't even begin to fathom and begin to understand. Hey, listen, you say, how'd it happen then? I'll tell you how it happened. God reached out and he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Amen. Thank God. As a fellow one time said, he was talking, he was trying to defend that. And he said, you know, you're related to a monkey. But like 90%, these ain't exact numbers. He said, you're related to a monkey by like 90%. You're also related to dust. How about like 99? Amen. Hey, listen, I'm simply saying this. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe the Bible. Amen. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, but I am fully persuaded that God's the one that made us. Fully persuaded. Let me say this, based on firm promise. I want you to see next verse. Stay with me here. Word of God said in the next verse, verse number 20. It said he staggered not. at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen to me. I am not a Bible corrector. No, I don't believe that for a second. But I want y'all to listen to me. I want you to hear me. First thing you find in this passage of Scripture is faith is based on full persuasion. Second thing you find in this passage of Scripture is faith is based on firm promises. Bible said that he staggered not. Are y'all listening to me? Now, the story he's telling happens in Genesis 17. Whenever they're standing there, and all of a sudden it begins in that verse, Brother Dustin, and the Lord appears unto him, and he begins to tell him that he's getting ready to have a baby. And you know what he does? I'll tell you what he does. He laughs. And you know what he says in the next verse? He says, "Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee." Well, that looks like staggering to me. Are y'all listening to me? The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God, but his whole life looks to me like he staggered at. Now, you stay tuned with me. I want to help us right here. If nobody listens to nothing else I say, I hope you'll stay tuned the next 5 minutes. That's really where the Lord got dealing my heart about this message. All his life, it appears to me. Now, the Bible says this. I'll tell you what he never staggered at, best I can figure, Brother Delmer. He never did stagger at the fact that God was going to make out of him a great seed. He never did stagger at the fact that he is going to be the father of many nations. But all down through his life, it seems like he keeps tripping up about how God's going to make it happen. He says, what about Eliezer? He said, the steward of Damascus. He said, he's mine heir. And God said, that's not your heir. In Genesis 16, he tried to help the Lord. Him and old Sarah got trying to help the Lord. Hey, listen, he said, we don't know how this is going to happen. And so he went in and got another lady pregnant, had another baby by the hand. I mean, his whole life seems to be him getting in that place where he's struggling with how God's going to do what he said. Amen. Yeah. That right? You ever struggle with any of that stuff? Now, he didn't stagger at the promise, but he sure struggled with how it's going to happen. Now, this is what the Lord gave me, and I want y'all to listen to me. I hope this will help you. You know what the Lord done in Hebrews chapter number 11? Every time you read Hebrews chapter number 11, you read by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, all the way down to that. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at a single moment in their whole lives. We read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and we think, my, what great men of God. And they were great men, great women of God. But what we're looking at is a single solitary moment in otherwise lives that are oftentimes pretty messed up. But now this is what makes me happy, Mary. It appears to me as though God gives an account of those moments of faith. And he lets those moments of faith override all those years of doubt and unbelief. Are y'all listening to me? Thank God. You go down the road and get thinking about that sometime and let it help you. I'll tell you how I know that that's partly. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the truth. And I'll tell you how I know it. I'm partly in my own life. It's because no matter how many times that I've messed up, how many times that I've come short, you know what God does every time? He goes back to a single solitary day. And whenever I trusted him in my life, I said, Lord, I believe in you. Thank God. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth. And because of that one day of faith, God never has let me be charged with any sin. He lets a moment of faith override a lifetime of mistakes. Y'all listen to me. I don't know if y'all getting that or not. He gets right down here with old Abraham. He says Abraham didn't stagger at the promise. But he'd been struggling with it for the last 15 years. Sometimes I don't stagger. I don't stagger at the fact. I said this morning, I know where I'm going. But I struggle sometimes with how we're going to get from point A to point B. I ain't never staggered at the Lord coming back. He's coming. But I struggle with living right along the way trying to make sure that I know that. See, it's a struggle. Are y'all listening to me? This may not make a lick of sense, but I promise you this is where the Lord wanted me to be at. There's times in our life, we may not just say, Lord, I don't believe that. We believe it right here. Right here, no doubts, fully persuaded. But up here, sometimes I struggle. But what a blessing it is that whenever it comes time to be accounted for it, God lets the faith in here override the struggle up here. That's as good as a preaching as I know how to do. You understand Noah was a drunk, or at least he got drunk. Is that right or not right? Somebody help me on that. Did that happen in your Bible or didn't happen? Was Jacob a swindler or not? I mean, is that right or is that not right? Samson's in the hall of faith. You'll struggle to find anything real good Samson ever did do. Best I can tell, at least what we got recorded, only had one moment of faith in his whole life. And God said, I believe I'll write that one down. He said, I know you messed up with that old Philistine woman. I know you messed up down there in Timnath. I know you messed up touching that old dead carcass. Boy, you got it right when it came time to die. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to forget about the rest of that. When it comes my time to write it down, I'm going to write down, by faith, Samson, amen. Hey, praise God, I could shout on that one. Say, what happens, preacher? All I know is this, we get fully persuaded in our heart. That's what faith does. The Lord just says, well, I tell you, and you say, I don't understand how all that happens. Well, I can tell you this. My kids come in, they can be in a lifetime of trouble, and they start loving on me. I'll forget that trouble real quick. You will too. Let me give you this last thing. Watch your Bible, and I'll be done. Verse number 21 says, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now listen, I really prayed about how to say what I'm going to say next, but I want you to listen to me. There's similarities sometimes, Brother Kyle, not many times, but sometimes there's similarities between us and the Lord. Now I want you to watch what I'm going to say. I want you to listen to me. Every one of all of our abilities are limited by our capabilities. And his is too. All of his abilities is limited by his capabilities. Y'all listen to me? You know the difference between us and him? He don't have any, limitations. See, I promise you the moon. I could do that. Say, David, we're going to walk out of here, and I'm going to give you the moon. And I got no capability or ability to do it. But if the Lord promises you the moon, you've been enjoying it every day since he put her up there, ain't it? I listened to him. I'm simply saying this. He said he believed that what he had promised, he could perform. He said, if he said it, I believe it. The Lord's abilities is only limited by his capability. Now, you tell me something God can't do. I mean, outside of a few things, God can't lie. We understand that. But I'm talking about, we're saying a trick. I'm talking about you tell me what you're praying about in your life that God can't do. What is it? Whatever that is only limited by his ability. And the last time I checked, there's not never been a case brought to him that he said, man, that's too tough. I'm going to have to pass you off to somebody else. That's beyond my capability. So he looks at a lady who's 90 years old. And he said, well, since you didn't stagger at it, even though he struggled with it, amen. Praise. I don't know if y'all's even listening or not. He gets down to this place, and he said, I just believe you're able to perform it. And guess what happens? You imagine having a 90-year-old getting ready to have a baby shower. Oh, Abraham says, go call all your friends. In 9 months, we're having a baby. What about that? It's going to be a boy. Said, how do you know? Because he promised it. So you ain't got to worry about the name. He already told us what we're going to name it. And it comes time in Genesis 22, he gets ready to kill it.
They said, I'll tell you what I believe. We know what he believed. Me and Brother, I think me and you were talking about this week, wasn't it? Me and Brother Joshua, before there ever was a resurrection, before anybody ever heard of a resurrection, Abraham already believed in one. They said, I could kill him 1,000 times over. And if I killed him 1,000 times over, God would resurrect him 1,001 times. Because that's the seed. That's the promise. I'll give you what the Lord's given my heart. Let's stand to our feet.